I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am your host, Karen Eden. And every week I have an assignment that I do. And I hope that it's something that you can kind of take and learn something from. Even if it's just one little part of what I say, it helps you grow and be a better person in this world. I would have completed my assignment. My background, over 20 years in broadcast journalism, including working for NBC and both Fox affiliates, and even a couple of bigger hits on CNN, and even some of my stuff went Fox National during my 20-some-year career. I always enjoyed what I did, but I was always doing an assignment for somebody else. And so now I am doing an assignment in a different way. From a spiritual resonation, I am also a clinical pastor, which is a chaplain, an ordained chaplain. And I'm here to make a difference in this world, hopefully just like you are. We all get to that point where we realize we're here for a reason. What is that reason? Well, that becomes your own individual journey, and I encourage you to try to figure that out. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to help you figure out why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I hope that doesn't offend you, because it doesn't offend me if you don't believe, but I'm going to try to encourage you to believe. All right. I'm so glad you could join me. It's starting to warm up now. We're getting into some bird singing. That's all I can tell you, because out where I live, out in the state of Colorado, this is supposed to be our snowiest month, the month of March. And we haven't seen a whole lot of snow, which is a little bit concerning. That means that we're going to have a high fire hazard summer, if we don't start to see some pretty decent snow in the month of March. So as much as I enjoy hearing birdsing, and we still get some cool, windy days here that can be very fooling. But typically, out here in Colorado, it's very sunny, and it stays sunny for most of the year. I bet you didn't know that Colorado has more sunny days than Miami, Florida. It's very true. Yep, and I do know that because I was a weather anchor. I was a meteorologist in addition to being a reporter. They kind of put me where they needed me. If they wanted me to do the weather, then I had to do the weather. If they wanted me to go out and do a reporting, I had to do reporting. But that's the way. Once I got locked into doing, being able to do both from day one in my early 20s when I started television, then I was done. I was locked in for the rest of my career. Oh, we need you to do weather. Oh, we need you to go do reporting. But that's okay. I actually enjoy doing both very much. And I'm glad I had the experience, because I can see how there was a tapestry that was weaving together in my lifetime to get me to where I am right now. I am where I'm supposed to be right now at this very time. People ask me, do I miss being on TV? No, I don't. I don't at all. It's a very brutal business, a very mean business in many ways, and I did it for a long time. However, everything that I had to go through and learn in the television industry and broadcast news has helped me get to this point today as I continue my journey. And it's the same way for you. Good, bad, or otherwise, everything has been weaving into a tapestry for you to meet your purpose of why you're here. It's never over. You don't really retire. You can never just sit back and go, aha, I'm done. There's always more as long as you are drawing breath. And that's somewhat of what the topic is I want to talk about today. It's called Pie in the Sky. Somebody's got to get that piece of pie. Why not you? You know, as a clinical pastor or a chaplain, I do a lot of counseling, a lot of one-on-one counseling. I actually have for many years, and I know a lot of people don't know that about me, especially in the martial arts industry, where I'm known as mainly a martial arts master, which I love. Been teaching martial arts, still teach martial arts now, going on 28 years. But I also do a lot of spiritual counseling. And recently, I had someone I was talking to. And he actually has accomplished a lot of things in his life. He went all the way to play football, pro football for the NFL. And all of a sudden he got cut, and it messed with him really, really bad. He's still a young man. He's still in his 20s. And all of a sudden, I mean, you spent your whole life from your childhood on working toward this goal, and you don't have it anymore because you got cut. It will set you back. It'll blow you back several feet for a while. And now who you really are will come out after you've been blown back from your life's dream. Who you really are will start to come out at that point. And I know many of you know what I mean. I mean, I was in the TV business for most of my life, my adult life, early 20s on. When it came time for me to have to cut those ties, it blew me back. It actually blew me back for a long time because all of a sudden I had to reconfigure who I really was and what I was supposed to be doing here. I mean, it's just all of a sudden I didn't know who I was. That took a while for me to figure out. And, you know, if that's been your dream and you reached it and all of a sudden you're not there, you know, it'll cause you to have to step back for a moment and take a look at your life and look at yourself and see what is it I'm really supposed to be doing. So that's where this young football player was at. And I just noticed that one particular cut, this last cut that he had from the NFL, he all of a sudden became very insecure. And he had a lot of questions. Maybe I should just go ahead and go into coaching. You know, maybe I'm done. And I really just said, hey, stop for a minute now. Let's just talk about this. What do you want to do? I mean, do you want to still play football? You want to play ball? Yes, ma'am, I do. Well, then why don't you do it? I mean, why don't you try it? I'm not sure if that's the right thing for me to do anymore. Why? Because you have fear. You're afraid. No, well, maybe God doesn't want me to do it anymore. Listen, if you believe in God and he gave you the desire to do something, I don't want to hear this, maybe it's not what he wants me to do. Because you wouldn't have that desire if that's not what you were supposed to do at this particular point in your life. If you're a spiritual person and you have a desire to do something, that's not a wasted correlation. There is a gelling that needs to happen with that. So I understand we have bills to pay and we have families to support or whatever, and we need to do what we need to do to make money. I don't accept that as an excuse. Everybody has 24 hours a day. You go do your job, and then you go do what you love and know you're supposed to be doing while you're here. Do them both. Do them both. Find a way. Figure it out. Because if you're here and you have the desire and the passion and your heart just jumps and leaps when you think about what you could be doing, that's what you're supposed to be doing, my friend. That's your pie in the sky. I ended up telling the NFL football player, somebody's got to get that piece of pie in the sky. Why not you? Why not you? Somebody's got to get it. Why shouldn't it be you? It's all a matter of you being able to conquer your fear and staying focused on your goal. Very important. I'm going to say that part again. Conquer your fear and staying very focused on your goal. Because those two things will always mess people up. And all of a sudden, another day goes by, another week goes by, another month goes by, another year goes by, another decade goes by. You young people, listen, it goes quick. Once you're in your 20s, boom. You're like, how do I get in my 30s? Boom. So forth and so forth and so forth. Even old people, just had this conversation, even old people don't think they're old. You know, when you're in your 20s, you think somebody in their 40s is old as dirt. Until you get in your 40s, then you go, well, you know what? People in their 60s are old as dirt. Until you get in your 60s, then you go, people in their 80s are old as dirt. Until you get in your 80s. Nobody ever thinks they're old. But all of a sudden, all this life has passed you by, and you've never met your purpose. You've never met your destiny. One is because of fear. I want to break that down. And the other one is because you're not staying focused. You're letting life of the incidentals of having to make a living another way and bringing in money. You're letting those things take over you. You're not supposed to do that. We all have obligations in life, and we have to meet them. But there's a little time, maybe an hour, 1 week, and 1 hour a week that you can focus on something that you know is your purpose that you're really supposed to be doing. Or at least take that time and figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a heart for young people. And for years now, I've been traveling this country, and I've gone into high schools, mainly high schools, some junior high schools, of all ethnicities. Just got back from Chemawa Indian School, working with the high school students there in Oregon. Something that I notice when I hold these assemblies and I encourage and try to speak with these young people, I notice that most of them, I'm going to say 95% of the younger students that I work with, they really don't feel like they matter. You say, well, there's a lot of kids that come from good homes with money that have both parents. But you don't know, guys, the struggle behind it. I see that. I see that a lot of times you think, well, this kid has everything. That kid has an alcoholic parent. You think that won't mess with you. That'll mess with you for life. It takes a lifetime of lessons to get that straight. And sometimes then it's not enough. You see a lot of young people, even the ones that are putting on a face of, you know, I'm popular, I'm loved at home, there are issues underneath that say, I don't feel like I really matter in this world. Because I look at the world and I see everything and I'm just a little peon. I'm just a little speck of sand in a big ocean full of things that are bigger and better than me. That's the mindset of most young people when I work with them, when I go to the schools. And I try to let them know how quickly time is going to pass by and how if you just do a couple simple things, you're going to be able to find your way and you're going to feel that sense of worth if you keep moving in that direction. Sense of worth has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with power. Otherwise, we wouldn't have so many famous people that are killing themselves with drugs and alcohol. Sense of worth has to come from inside. And it has to be a spiritual understanding. Sense of worth and your spirituality go hand in hand. Because that's how you're going to find what your purpose is. And until you get to that purpose, you're never going to feel like a worthy person. You'll never feel worthy until you get to your purpose, ladies and gentlemen. Because that's what will fulfill you. Because that's what God called you to do. And your purpose doesn't have to be a religious purpose. You know, you don't have to be the weirdo like me. You can do all kinds of things that are your purpose. Again, what makes your heart leap? Oh, man, I love it, I love it. I'd love to do that. Listen, don't let another day pass by. Go do it. If you can only spend 1 hour a week focusing on what you love to do, you need to do it because there's a calling in that. Young people, big mistakes that we make as parents sometimes, especially parents from broken homes that have children that they have to raise. See, sometimes as parents, it's hard for us to be humble even when we mess up with our own kids and we know we were wrong. Maybe we shouldn't have said those things. Maybe we shouldn't have handled that situation like that. Oh, you just wait till your kids are teenagers. You know what I mean, if you have a teenager. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you know it should have gone. It couldn't have been the most best way for you to handle something. And instead of saying, listen, I apologize to your children, you go do things like, well, let me just go buy them what they want. They'll be happy and smile, and they'll know that I feel bad. You can't do that because you're training them. You're training them to be bought off, basically. You're going to have to humble yourself as a parent sometimes because we all mess up. You have to say, I apologize. That wasn't the best way to handle it. You know, let's go back and redo that. You don't have to say you're sorry. You're the parent. You don't need to be sorry, but you need to apologize. If you don't teach your children how to humble themselves and say things like, I apologize as an example, or say things like, I love you as an example, they're going to grow up and not be humble and do it with their own family. We're talking about creating some issues here. Because you're human. You need to know you're human. They need to know you're human too. But that doesn't take away from who they are. Teaching them to sweep things under the carpet is one of the worst things you can do because it messes with their sense of value. It makes them feel like they don't matter when you can't come out and just say, listen, I apologize. I want to handle that differently. Well, are they not worthy enough for you to do that? Of course they are, but that's the way they're thinking, you see. That's what's going on in their head. We need to stop some of those patterns that we're doing as parents. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care if you're black or white or Indian. I don't care. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what side of town you live on. All these kids that I'm talking about don't feel like they matter. I see it. And I'm a good person to ask because I told you, I travel everywhere. I went back to my own school two times to hold assemblies in Virginia, and I could see it in those kids. Some of these kids after these assemblies would come up to me crying, saying, you know, what you said was so real and touched me. I just want to let you know. I'm going through a hard time, and I can understand and relate to what you're saying, and I'm going to listen to what you said. I'm going to take it to heart. Some of us, you know, we're taking a lifetime to get over the things that we went through as young people. Let's try to take the experiences that we went through and the lessons we've had to learn and expand them onto these young people so that they don't have to make the same judgment errors that we made. I always say this, when you go through a hard time, you waste time as a young adult because you have to actually take out every single piece of foundation and build it yourself because you never had anybody build that foundation with you. And then you realize you built it wrong, and you got to take those pieces out and refix it. Always replacing pieces. Oh, that wasn't right. Let me try this. It takes a long time to have to rebuild a foundation through trial and error. If we can take our knowledge and pass it forward, we're going to save somebody else the time of having to expend because we're passing down our wisdom to the next generation. Big martial arts thing, and hopefully that's something that we can learn to do, especially those of us in the martial arts industry. And those young people, they look up to us. Okay, not feeling like you're worth it, not feeling like you matter, is a big reason why we don't go for that pie in the sky. But how about us now? We're not teenagers anymore. What is it about us that makes us not realize that we're never too old to get what we think is the pie in the sky for us? And it's different for everybody. My piece of pie in the sky is going to be a different flavor than yours. You know, I don't like ice cream on my pie. Some people do. I don't like it by pie to get mushy. I don't really like chocolate anything on pies and cakes and cookies, and some people do. I mean, a lot of people love chocolate. Different strokes for different folks. However, it's all still pie. And it's tasty. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be going for that piece of pie in the sky. I like to do a lot of biblical references, if you will let me. And if you don't let me, you're just going to have to tune me out because I do it all the time anyway. But there are a couple of biblical references, which is my go-to book, my map on how to live and navigate my journey. But there are a couple of references that say, you know what, when you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. In other words, once you've set your hand to something and you made up your mind to do it, don't look back and second-guess yourself. Put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. Stay focused. Stay focused. If it's 1 hour a week, it's 1 hour a week. But don't let anybody interrupt that 1 hour a week. That's your week to stay focused. Another reference is you want to run the race like you're going to win it. Now, that's something that all of us have to work on. Run the race like you're going to win it. You know, I know, and especially in tournaments and things of that nature that I'm part of quite a bit, we've gone into this thing where a lot of kids will get a trophy, you know, or a medal or something, whether they place in the first top three or not. I get asked that question a lot. Do you think that's right, Master Karen, that everybody gets a participation trophy, whatever you want to call it? I don't think it's right psychologically to do that to kids because I think they grow up with a sense of entitlement, and I think we're seeing a lot of that now, where if you don't agree with me, well, then I'm just walking away. That's the sense that I get from the generations under me, calling the millennials, whatever you want. Really, even in politics, you don't agree with me, I'm walking away. You know, that it's not an ideology anymore, it's an identity. An identity, what I think and what I believe is my identity, and I'm just going to cuss you out, and I'm even going to beat you up if you don't agree with my identity. That's the generation that we're dealing with, and it has a place in growing up where they didn't learn that how to deal with failure. And when you constantly give everybody a trophy, they don't get to learn how to deal with failure. And so I want kids to fail in the sense that I want them to be able to learn how to deal with failure because life is not all about winning. Matter of fact, for those of you who have won in life and whatever it is, you know that life is more about failing and picking yourself up and dusting yourself off than it is about winning. So can you be resilient when you fail? That's what we've got to teach the kids. Even the little tiny ones. If they don't place in the top three, let them cry. There's nothing wrong with crying when you're a little kid. Go ahead, cry about it. Now you get older, you're not going to be able to shed those tears, even though you still may be crying and pebbling on the inside, but learn how to deal with that loss. That's the healthiest thing for kids, is teaching them about loss and letting them learn on their own how to pick themselves up and dust themselves off. Hey, kids, just because you didn't win, it doesn't mean you're a loser in life. It just means you didn't win that time. As in most sports, you might get it next time. You know, karate tournaments are. I had a girl in my own organization. She was great. She always won first place. Sometimes I would beat her, though, and sometimes she would beat me. It was like that for years. It doesn't mean I'm a loser because she got me that time. It doesn't mean she's a loser because I got her that time. It just means the cards weren't falling in place the way you wanted to on a particular day or a particular event. But good heavens, it doesn't mean you're a loser in life. And that's what these stinking participation trophies are doing to our kids. Oh, you didn't get one, you're a big old loser in life. Go put the L on your head. Okay. Pie in the sky. We got to teach our kids. Don't pay your kids off. Don't give them a trophy when they lose. Just let them know that they're not a big old loser just because they didn't win something. Let them know that they do have a sense of value and worth in this world. They're just young and they haven't figured it out yet. But if they stay very focused, it will come to them. Teach them what that focus is. Ask your kids, what do you like to do? What do you really enjoy doing? And if it's something that you can do with them to encourage them, then let them do it. No, I grew up poor. I couldn't do anything because everything cost money. Until I was old enough to get my own car and do my own thing in high school, you know, I couldn't do anything. I'm not the only one like that out there. But if I would have had the input earlier and someone would have worked with me and expended some time, I think I still could have got where I got quicker. I know I did good. I know. Everything turned out fine. While caring in the long run, everything turned out fine. I know. But I'm just saying, I could have done it quicker. I could have done it easier if I would have had a good foundation already in place. I don't want to make that same mistake. My own kids, and I don't want my kids to make that mistake with their kids. And you got to think that way. What can I do better? What can I do better? How can I help them have that foundation in place so that when they go forward, it'll be quicker and easier for them to get to their goal? Hey, I'm talking some good stuff here. I hope you like what I'm saying as much as I like what I'm saying. Pie in the sky, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for it. Let's not let another day pass by. Find your passion. Make it a spiritual part of your journey to go for whatever that passion is. And then make it something where you can contribute back to your fellow man. Then you're going to feel like you're worthy. I promise you. It's everything in the manual that I look at, the Bible. That's what it talks about. Your passion has to be your purpose. Don't get sidetracked with people who talk about making all this money. And I see it a lot in martial arts. Come join me. I'm going to teach you how to make money, karate teacher. You just stick with your passion. Money's not everything. The more money you make, the more you lose it. I don't know how that happens either. You never live better because you make more money. Eventually, it's just like you're in debt again. It's because you're not focused on the goal. You're focused on the effects of what that goal can bring. And that should never be your focus. Your focus needs to be the goal. Listen, right now, if nobody's listening to me, I don't care. I don't care. I know at least one or two are because they're my friends and they love me. But I don't care if you're not listening. I'm on track doing what I'm supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God, for my purpose in this world right now. And that's all that matters to me, is that I'm on focus and on purpose. Hey, the spirit realm will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. He'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about anything. I just need to do what I'm supposed to do. Don't really look at the results, God. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Run that race like you're going to win it. Oh, wait a minute. There's nobody watching me run. I'm not making enough money running. That's not what it says. That's not what the manual says. The manual says don't look back. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, it will all fall in place. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, listen, I have 4 books out. You can look them up online. I hope you'll buy them. It's a lot of philosophy. Some of them are very martial artsy, and some of them aren't. Like that word, martial artsy? Write for 2 karate magazines. Again, it's very philosophical. You don't have to be in martial arts to get my stuff. I just do what I do here. I reference it a lot, but it really has very little to do with actually being a quote-unquote martial artist. I do a lot of traveling, so please keep me in your prayers. I have affiliates all over the country and world that do what I do in the inner city and the ghettos and the poorest parts of cities all over the world, teachers that go in and do this for free to try to help young people through martial arts become better people. Keep them in your prayers, too. I guess that's all I have to say today. I hope I said something that really has inspired you in some way. My name is Karen Eden again, and this is the Eden Assignments. And I want to say God bless you, and I will see you next time. Until then, you go get that pie in the sky this week, okay? All right. See you next time. Bye-bye.